1 Kings chapter 21, continuing on the life of King Ahab. First Kings chapter 21, we'll commence our reading in verse 20. It's just after Elijah has found Ahab in Naboth's vineyard after Naboth has been murdered. And Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin." And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all the things, as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly." And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." Amen, and God will bless the reading from his inspired and infallible word. We return tonight to the kings of Israel and Judah, the tale of two kingdoms. And we have been looking at Ahab in our previous three studies on his life. King Ahab of Israel. He began to reign in 918 BC, and he reigned until 896 BC. He reigned for 22 years. And we have looked at five things so far about Ahab. Number one, Ahab was very evil. He greatly exceeded the sin of his fathers, so much so that the Bible says it was a light thing for him to sin. It was a trifle. It was of no consequence whatsoever for him to sin. The second thing we learned about Ahab is he was a Baal worshipper. Baal, the pagan fertility god. He built, firstly, the temple of Baal. And then he built the altar of Baal. And then he built the grove to Baal. His evil had stages of degeneration. He didn't do it all at the one time, or the people would have rebelled against it. Baal worship is hormone worship, as the commentator says. Such is the human authority of it. Whatever the human wants, that's fine. Baal worship, follow your lusts and your desires. The third thing we learned about Ahab is he was directly opposed to the word of God. It was not a casual, unknown disobedience. It was deliberate disobedience to God's word. He married Jezebel in complete contradiction to what the law says. He worshipped idols in complete contradiction to the second commandment. He rebuilt Jericho in complete contradiction to God saying, "Cursed is the man that rebuildeth Jericho." He deliberately transgressed the word of God. It was no accident. He directly opposed the word of God. Fourthly, he was ruled by a woman. That's the worst. No, it's not the worst at all. But it's one of the worst. And fifthly, he was childish. Pouting baby. Lying on his own bed. He doesn't want his dinner. Face to the wall. Pouting. Why? Because he didn't get his own way. Childish. So Ahab was very evil, a Baal worshipper, directly opposed to the word of God, ruled by a woman, a feminist, I should say, and childish. Now let's continue with Ahab tonight. Number one. This evening's number one. In maturity of years, Ahab was fearful when he heard God's word of judgment. That's chapter 21, verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the Lord says concerning him in verse 29, "See how he humbles himself before me." Now what's the context here? That he was fearful in his mature years when he heard God's word of judgment. The context, as you know, as I explained a little earlier, is Naboth's vineyard. He wanted it. Naboth wouldn't sell it. He pouts. His wife schemes and murders Naboth. Gets him the vineyard. He's down at the vineyard now, enjoying what he's got over the blood of an innocent man. And Elijah is sent to confront him. And Elijah says to him, you see in verses 23 and 24, "You will die, your sons will die, and your wife will die, and none of them will be buried." Judgment. The context is in God's judgment. And with age came a fear of God's judgment that you could perhaps say mellowed Ahab. And we even actually see an outward form of remorse, a mourning about the sentence of the judgment from God. Sackcloth, ashes, a going about softly or carefully or cautiously. This is not the Ahab we've read of in the previous 3 weeks. There is a humbling before God of this king when he is old. Because when did this happen? This happened in the year 899 BC, which is only 3 years before he died. The end of his reign is when he died. 896. So obviously he was now towards the end of his life. He's as old as he's going to get. He's in his older years when this fear comes, when he hears God's judgment, which he didn't have in his younger years when Elijah said, "No more water," bah, and hunt down Elijah. Now he's afraid in his old age when he hears about the judgment of God. And so today with many people. In their younger day, they're strong and opinionated, mocking God, not afraid. All of life's ahead of them. All of life is going to be determined by me. Great confidence in my intellect and my ability. But then the years pass swifter than the weaver's shuttle. The years pass like a vapor from boiling water. And then the fear comes. And sometimes the hardened, irreligious person gets a wee form of religion when they get old to soothe the conscience. And they begin doing things they have never done before in their whole life. They begin perhaps going to church when they never went before because in their old age they're afraid. They perhaps begin asking for the minister when they've never asked for the minister before. But now they're old and they know they're not going to be around forever and they're afraid. And they begin to pray when they've never prayed their whole life of great confidence and mocking God and never... Oh, and all of a sudden they get old and the fear comes and they begin to pray. And sometimes, praise God, sometimes it's true repentance. But not so in Ahab's case. He was remorseful at the sentence of judgment that God has just declared through Elijah about his death, his son's death, his wife's death, and their lack of burial. He's remorseful about that, and he's scared. But he did not change his ways in his remaining 3 years, and he did not change his worship of Baal. He didn't reform. He didn't pull down the idols. He didn't pull down Baal's temple. He didn't pull down the grove that he'd built. He didn't do any of that. It was just a fear and a remorse. What a nasty way to die. Ahab, as I said in my first point, in maturity of years was fearful when he heard God's word of judgment. Secondly, Ahab's Jezebel. You couldn't really go through without saying a little bit about Jezebel. Sure you couldn't in a series about Ahab. A Zidonian woman, the daughter of a king. She's a princess. The mother of 3 children. Ahazah, Joram, Athalah. 3 sons. Bible dictionary says she is a bold, wicked idolatress. Now when you just read the passages concerning the life of King Ahab, you get the very strong impression that she is the power behind the throne. You know when you read who's calling the shots, don't you? What about her? Well, she's an immoral, feminist pagan. She's a feminist. Her power is what controls the king. And therefore controls the nation. She's immoral. She worships a fertility god, Baal. And you have to be and perform immoral acts to worship Baal. She rules. It's the 850 prophets that sit at Jezebel's table, not Ahab's. Her table in the palace. And 2 Kings 9:30. I say she's immoral because it says there, she is a woman who painted her face and sat in the window. Now please remember that in those days the only women that wore makeup were harlots. In those days only harlots sat in windows wearing makeup. You read Proverbs, you'll see quite often in Proverbs the picture of the harlot, the painted faces, the sitting in the windows, it's all there in Proverbs. It's the same thing with Jezebel. Jezebel was an immoral, feminist pagan. But she was also a schemer and a plotter. We see in 1 Kings 21, verses 8 to 10, concerning Ahab's huffing, because he couldn't get the vineyard, and so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Writing a letter in Ahab's name, manipulating, lying, planning how to get Naboth's vineyard in a different way. And the next thing about her follows on from that, 21 verse 7. She is heartless. Heartless. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth. Heartless. Naboth is a man who has one vineyard. He had done nothing wrong. He only ever wanted to farm on his own land, which was his father's land, and his grandfather's land, and his great-grandfather's land that was passed on down through his family, as was done in Israel. But she heartlessly writes letters in the name of the king, laying a trap, declaring a feast with the farmer in the most exalted place, Naboth. And then she plants two false witnesses in the crowd to tell lies and say he blasphemed. And when you've accused him of that, take him out and stone him to death. All this to trick a farmer, an ordinary man who just wanted to grow his vines and his grapes. And she tricked, and she trapped him, and she murdered him, heartlessly and cold and clinical and unfeeling. And there's not one ounce of remorse afterwards. She's heartless. And she's a murderer. That of course flows on from that. She murdered Naboth, yes. But she murdered far more than Naboth. She attempted to murder Elijah. And apart from God saving him, he would have been murdered. And she tried to and did murder hundreds of God's prophets. It tells you that in 1 Kings 18 and verse 4. This is a wee man called Obadiah. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them in a cave, and 50 by a cave or whatever it was. Yes, 100 prophets and hid them 50. In a cave. And you see the same thing in verse 13 of chapter 18. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? She was a murderer of preachers. A murderer of prophets as well. She murdered Naboth, she attempted to murder Elijah, and she murdered many of the prophets of God. What a foul woman. And the last thing I'll say about her is she was the opposite of a good wife, according to Proverbs 31 verses 10 to 31. the complete opposite. The book of Proverbs says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her value is far above rubies. She's immoral. Jezebel's immoral. The virtuous woman, her husband's heart can safely trust in her. Jezebel's a treacherous woman. The virtuous woman will do her husband good all the days of his life. Does Jezebel do that? No. She inspired him and it provoked him to more evil, the Bible says. The good woman works with her hands, so her family are clothed in winter. Imagine Jezebel knitting. I can't. She might break one of her nails, wouldn't she? The virtuous woman feeds her household. The virtuous woman buys a field, it says in Proverbs 31. Jezebel, what is she? Murders for a field. The virtuous woman helps the poor. Jezebel kills the poor and steals from them. The virtuous woman is clothed with strength and honor. Jezebel is clothed with vice and violence. The virtuous woman opens her mouth in wisdom and kindness. Jezebel opens her mouth and threatens Elijah. She opens her mouth with foolishness and hate. She is the opposite of a good wife, according to the Bible. And the last few verses of Proverbs 31 say, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also shall praise her. Many daughters have done excellent, or have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Jezebel's children didn't rise up and praise her. Jezebel's children, her three sons, were all murdered before she died, and they were all left unburied. She loved favour and beauty. She was deceitful and vain. And the last verse, the fear of God. Jezebel had no fear of God. So what a wicked woman. So I draw to a conclusion, that's Ahab. In maturity of years, he was fearful when he heard of God's judgment. And secondly, Ahab's Jezebel, immoral feminist, pagan, schemer and plotter, heartless, murderer and opposite of a good wife. Let me give some application, and I'll be very brief. It'll just be two sentences of application that are extremely obvious. Number one, and this is, as I say, in closing. Remember God when you're young. Don't wait to become old when you will then begin to fear judgment. Remember God when you're young. And secondly, be careful who you marry. Be careful who you marry. I wouldn't recommend a feminist, immoral, pagan, who schemes and plots and is heartless, nor a violent, total opposite of Proverbs 31. Amen.